Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right, let's do it.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Jamie Markley. That's David Van Camp. There's Scott Robbins. Okay, a lot to get to. AI is going to kill us all. We keep hearing that.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of corruption going on, and we're actually talking about Biden corruption here.
Yeah, more and more whistleblowers from the IRS and DOJ are coming forward with claims that the Biden administration is stonewalling various investigations into the president's son, Hunter.
Really?
Who, while Joe was vice president and also for a couple years after the vice presidency, was running around the world making all sorts of business deals that his dad apparently facilitated in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a lot of questions about that, and we're getting more and more information about whistleblowers saying, well, there's one allegation of bribery, there's another allegation that, the bank records themselves show that millions of dollars are being funneled to Joe Biden's kids, and no one really knows why. They won't answer that question. And the FBI has been stonewalling investigators looking into the president's son. White House spokesman John Kirby was asked about the long list of grievances we've heard about to date, and the reporter here is Steve Nelson from the New York Post.
Okay.
There was a Harvard-Harris poll this month that found that 53% of the public, including a fourth of Democrats, believe, quote, Joe Biden was involved with his son in an illegal influence peddling scheme. There's, of course, evidence that the president interacted with his relatives, associates from China.
By the way, at least a fourth of Democrats, that's good, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Better than zero.
Mexico, Kazakhstan, Russia, and Ukraine. So what do you say to the majority of Americans who believe that the president is himself corrupt?
Hello.
Hello. The president has spoken to this. The president has spoken to this.
Time out a second. Is Kirby actually just tapping on?
Yeah.
The stand there?
Yeah.
Like he's irritated?
Yeah. Well, he's trying to play it off like, oh, this is a ridiculous question. And of course, the mopes in the White House press corps, remember, these brave defenders of democracy itself, are laughing along with him instead of saying, hey, wait a minute, this is actually kind of a serious issue.
As a matter of fact, all the rest of you hacks in this room were nothing but propaganda tools that actually said, oh, Hunter Biden laptop, Russian disinformation. That's the New York Post. They're the only ones that had it probably in that room.
Well, I want to know how a white supremacist snuck in with the New York Post tag on.
Oh, yeah.
How'd that happen?
Good question.
Mm.
John Kirby goes on.
And there's nothing to these claims. And as for the whistleblower issue that you talked about and the document, I believe the FBI has spoken to that. You're going to have to go to them on that.
All right. Let's go.
Who was that saying let's go?
That was Karine Jean-Pierre, the Make-A-Wish press secretary. Yeah.
So when the questions get hard, she asks, have the white man come in.
Well, I think it's not so much about skin color as much as it is about whether or not, you know, somebody has the mental capacity to put three words together.
Oh, I'm just trying to play by the left rules.
Oh, no. In that case, then, yes, the Biden administration definitely prefers to have a white person speak for them because Joe Biden's an old racist. It's very well documented.
Yes, very much so. That's why I bring it up. Wow, that's something. Okay. Looking forward to seeing it because people are saying you just got to keep the pressure on. And I know, David, we've talked about this many times. May not be anything that comes of it, but you still got to keep the pressure on because you're trying to expose the truth. The truth still means something to a lot of people.
And every
in this
time
country.
They turn over another rock, there's something else.
Of course.
I mean, you can only ignore this stuff for so long. I mean, even though David doesn't think so. Eventually, maybe they have to address this. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you want to know the truth too, David.
Well, I do, but I
the cynical
want to
side
action.
Of us all are saying, "What's going to happen?"
Yeah, nothing.
Okay, what's going to happen with Trump? Now, this something will probably happen with Trump because the FBI has different rules for different parties.
Yeah, CNN had the big scoop last night. You know what? They heard from sources that other sources heard from their sources that there's a tape of Donald Trump talking about taking classified documents. Dun, dun, dun. And this shows that he knew that this was a crime and there was no declassification, is what he said.
Or do we have the audio?
No, we don't have the audio.
Are people peeing on others? What's going on?
No, that's what I mean, again, they heard from sources that other sources told their sources that there's a tape of Donald Trump talking about this. And here's part of the reporting from CNN's Paula Reed.
Okay.
Now, sources tell us that on this tape, Trump says that he has a classified Pentagon document describing a possible attack on Iran. We're also told that you can hear a paper rustling. It appears that he might be waving something around. On this recording, you can hear Trump suggest that he would like to share this information with the people he's speaking with, but he acknowledges that there are limits to his power to declassify post-presidency. And as one source told me, that is a real problem.
Yeah, I've seen people saying game over, game set, match, okay. Donald Trump's going to prison for this. Now, I think the Justice Department absolutely will be, or the federal government will absolutely be prosecuting him as vigorously as possible with all of this. I do believe that. But how many times have we heard this? Our sources are telling us that they have sources that say that there's this damning tape. And then a few months later, when the tape actually comes out, it's really nothing.
I can't tell you how many times. Seriously. The walls are closing in. This is the one. Over and over and over. There should be some level of embarrassment with these people.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess there's so many of them. I'd be like, well, all our buddies, they should be embarrassed too. I guess when we're all together, we don't feel so embarrassed.
Well, Trump was standing at the urinal next to a guy who'd been to Russia.
So that counts for something.
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right. And you wonder about the timing of all these stories. Mm-hmm. You know, just a little coincidence here and there. Meanwhile, we have activists all over the country and, of course, in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked many times. We all love Portland. And it's just awful what's happened to that great city over the last, you could say, 5 years. You could say even 10 years. It doesn't look like the same place anymore. Yeah. And now what is the story with activists, David?
So the city of Portland is finally getting around to trying to do something about the exploding homeless and drug use crisis. And Mayor Ted Wheeler, a.k.a. Todd Whelan on this show, is proposing a ban on camping in public spaces during daylight hours, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and then to eventually phase in a total ban on camping on the sidewalk or camping near schools. Which, I don't know why you got to phase it in. Just go. Just do it.
We're even having this conversation if you take a step back.
Yeah. So the city council met yesterday to discuss the proposal, and of course there was a big protest. And I just want y'all to hear the absolute numbskulls that we're dealing with here. KGW had a roundup of the protesters and people speaking at the city council.
Okay.
Asking homeless Portlanders to carry their homes on their backs for 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, will heighten mental and physical distress.
This is an attempt to criminalize homelessness.
To ask them to go to sleep at night is totally unrealistic.
What? Hold on.
To ask them to go to sleep at night is totally unrealistic.
Totally unrealistic.
A bridge too far, you're saying.
Yes. I think I had that exact conversation with my toddler last night.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. We all have.
I won't do it. You can't make me.
I don't want to go to Betty Bye.
Where are we? What is that? Okay, finish out the clip, sorry.
What Ted Wheeler is proposing is inhumane, it's dehumanizing, and it will result in violence and death. Like, people will die if this ban passes.
People will die if they can't set up a pop-up tent on a sidewalk.
That's their go-to.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, it's like almost every other city and small town, especially in America, doesn't have the problem of people shooting up heroin and tents on the sidewalk in a downtown setting. And yet, I don't remember any news stories about thousands of people dying as a result of the lack of pop-up tents on public sidewalks.
No, I mean, listen, man, we've talked about this many times, talking about the homeless, not just in Portland, but across the country. And you have a heart for people, and not every homeless person is the same, okay? But the truth is, there are a lot that are addicts. There are a lot that have mental issues. Why are you laughing, Robbins? I'm trying to be serious, and you're laughing.
I know you get the serious face on. Okay, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just reading this the other day from Union Gospel Mission, who we partner with every December, and some of us give to that organization. And, you know, it's the one true answer, I think, for homelessness, because they partner with people and they help them along. But there is a program that you need to follow. And if you choose not to follow it, then, well, you're going to be out. Okay, there are times where you may have a single parent that is homeless, but a lot of people don't even see them because they're trying to hide the fact that they're homeless because their kids would be taken away, all of that. And you have a heart for these people, and you want to give them a chance. Okay, there are ways to do it humanely. But giving drug addicts and mentally ill people drugs and places to just sort of waller in their addiction is awful.
Yeah.
I don't know how these people can't wake up to that. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm.
And after 8 o'clock at night, they can assemble again with the tents?
Yeah.
Again, that doesn't make any sense either.
Well, the next thing, it's too much work to put a tent back up.
Right.
Well, what are we going to hear next?
You can't build Thunderdome in a day.
It's unreal to me. All right, there's a whole lot more to get to. You know, we were talking about Joe Biden a little bit earlier. The Robert Kennedy Jr. thing seems to be getting traction.
Yeah.
Yet he's not getting a lot of pub out there. It's really interesting. And Elon Musk actually reveals what he wants Twitter to evolve into. Very interesting. All coming up right here. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. So this is the Wall Street Journal. Joe Biden has a Kennedy problem. Yeah, he does. Robert Kennedy Jr. He's running. And, you know, he's actually polling really well. You never see him anywhere.
He really is, considering how much of the population even knows this guy exists, let alone running.
It's kind of crazy.
That's really 20%.
Well, and the left has tried to put him out there as just a kook.
I know what they're trying to do, yeah.
Okay. You know, 58% of voters have an unfavorable view of Biden. Only 22% have low approval for Robert Kennedy Jr. And his approval is higher.
Yeah.
And without much fanfare, he's, you know, different places polling at 25%. It's really interesting. So in the piece, they talked about the CBS affiliate in San Diego because Robert Kennedy Jr. was there to give a speech. And I wouldn't have known it unless I did the old click. Wow, there was a lot of people there. Pretty interesting. You want to hear a little part?
I do.
Sure.
Okay. This was, again, on Memorial Day. Roll it.
Most important way for us to honor the men and women who gave their lives for our country is to protect the rights that they died to give us.
Rights that he's worried Americans are in danger of losing.
All right. Listen to this part, man. This really, I've heard him say this before, but for people that don't know, it's like, really interesting.
I feel like I'm losing my country. I feel like my party has gone off the rails. It's become the party of war. When the Democratic Party was always skeptical about war, it's become the party of censorship, which is the exact, it's antithetical to the entire definition and tradition of liberalism.
Yeah. There are a lot of old Democrats that feel like they lost the party, and I think that's why he's polling pretty well. Yeah. By the way, you know how the debt ceiling, it looks like the house, and it's good because we're going to, you know, save all this money? Well, not really.
Well, no.
Not really. I mean, it's still way above pre-pandemic levels. But he actually said something, Kennedy Jr., that we talk about. And they're like, we don't have any money.
Yeah.
He actually said it.
Haranguing the current administration for, in his words, spending money that we don't have.
We're like an alcoholic who's behind on the mortgage and is taking the milk money and buying rounds for everybody, strangers at the bar. We don't have the money.
Well, going on to say we're giving it out to all these other countries. We don't have it. Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. Yesterday we had that clip of James Vanderbeek, the actor, saying, what, no debate? Why? Because the DNC wants to run it that way. They want to be able to pick. They want the power. It's not back to the people to vote. They don't want anybody
by the
to
way,
see this guy.
If you're hearing him for the first time, there is something wrong with his vocal cords. That's correct, right?
Yes.
Okay. I just say, if you're hearing this guy for like the first time or whatever, you're probably like, what is that? Because he strains like crazy to talk. And it's very difficult to hear sometimes and listen to.
It bothers you.
It just makes you uncomfortable. Yeah, I'm sorry it does.
No, I can tell.
I always want to go,
Well, he can't help it.
I know he can't help it. I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying when you hear it, it's a little startling the first time. And then, it's just tough for me. I want to clear my throat all the time every time I hear it.
Yeah, different people talk about this show on video. I can paint this picture for you. As soon as I started the clip, Robbins was wincing. Like,
it's just hard. It's like, hard, man.
He can't help it, man.
I know he can't. I'm not blaming him. I'm sympathetic to the case. But gee whiz, man.
Yeah, people have that. They actually get a shot for their vocal cords. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, in some circumstances, last that long to help it along. Are you saying that then he can't be president because of that?
No. I mean, certainly not a Democrat. That doesn't stop anybody. I mean, no malady does.
Right.
I mean,
you got them doing Weekend at Bernie's with Dianne Feinstein and
right.
Yeah, and John Fetterman is a shell of himself, and Joe Biden, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the guy's way more coherent than Biden.
Yes, I would agree.
No doubt about that. I mentioned Elon Musk. What does he want Twitter to evolve into? Man, this was troubling, too, that Twitter canceled a deal with Daily Wire to stream What is a Woman? We'll get to that story later. Very disappointing. But this is a different piece that I happen to see that Musk is saying it's not just, social media. They want to get into, financial services. And his point, and I'm paraphrasing, remember what happened to the truckers in Canada? And they were seizing all the cash. Like, well, their cash is no good here. We'll just oust you from our bank. Elon Musk is saying if we're going to have a free society, you can't allow the banking industry to decide that based on your political preferences. I thought that was pretty interesting. So, he's talking about not just social media, but video, encrypted communications, all this stuff, the full array. And I want to say, okay, that's cool. As long as you're cool, Elon. Unlike the other people, in social media out on the West Coast who want to stifle free speech. And I'm not quite sure. You can't trust anybody. So we'll see where that goes. Okay, David is asking the question, did America's wokest school district finally go too far? Can't wait for this story. Straight ahead. All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. I'm Jamie Markley, Gen Xer. David Van Camp, the millennial. And the sexy boomer, Scott Robbins. Okay, the wokest school district, did they finally go too far? That's the question.
Yeah, this is a remarkable story. Brandi Cruz, she's a former Seattle TV reporter. We've talked about her before. She left corporate media to do her own thing. It's called Undivided, if you're interested. She does some interesting reporting. And the headline grabbed my attention. Exclusive. Did America's wokest school district finally go too far? Now, this is about the Olympia School District in Washington. Okay. The district made headlines, if you remember, I think Scott had it in his trifecta a while back, when it cut fourth grade band and wind instruments, citing in part ties to white supremacist culture.
Yes. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Last month, May 9th, one of the district's elementary schools taught sex ed curriculum to fourth and fifth grade students. And you think, okay, sex ed, you're learning about birds and the bees, and, you know, that's roughly about the time when you start learning about puberty, when you start learning about what's about to happen to your body. Well, here's the thing. It was all this gender ideology stuff. And I love the line here. Perhaps the most bizarre is a depiction of a vagina with the face of a cat.
Whoa!
Another page from the booklet that was handed out to fourth and fifth graders showed images of items students might need once they hit puberty. Tampons, razors, deodorant, those kinds of things. Normal, right? Except the page also showed a picture of a puberty blocker, even listing the name of the implant, the brand name of the implant. Ask for it by name.
Wow, man. I'm still hung up on the cat.
Yeah, I know.
Whoa.
I know. I can't.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, David.
Then the material also included something called the gender wheel. The gender wheel was created by Maya Gonzalez, I don't even know how to pronounce this, honestly. I think it's supposed to be Chicana, but it's spelled X-I-C-A-N-X, which actually looks like a mood stabilizer that this woman should probably be on. It's like Zecanex,
okay,
I guess. A Zecanex genderqueer femme with 3 decades of experience as an independent researcher with a specific focus on LGBTQ and suppressed history. Now, parents found out about this, and what has not happened to date is the school district actually got enough pressure to apologize for this, saying this the presenter went rogue, this was an outside speaker from Planned Parenthood that they brought in to talk about this, and, oh, well, the presenter went off script and not going to be invited back to speak.
Okay. So if you're a parent of kids in elementary school in a blue state, what do you do? I mean, there are options, obviously, but that's what I'm thinking about. And I know a lot of people say, hey, it all starts in your hometown, you know, school board, city council, all that stuff. That's where change has to happen. Because this is a mountain. This whole woke ideology, it's all over the place. I mean, this is June 1st. Get ready. It's just the beginning. What we'll see this month, it'll be every other commercial, if not every one.
Well, then you'll start to see what they're going to be teaching in fall.
Yes.
And you're going to get a hint of that.
Yes.
What's to come?
I mean, because this has been in the works for years, and it does seem like it's ramped up. Like there's a full court press going on right now, but it has been ramping up for years. Someone was making the point, you think about, you've got basically, give or take, 4 million people graduating from universities every year, right? And most universities are, we know exactly what they teach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just doing, you know, obvious math, 10 years, that's 40 million people. Then, you know, somewhere between the age of like 22, 32, 35, somewhere in there. That's a heck of a lot of people all thinking somewhat the same way.
Right.
Or possibly. Not to mention just, you know, sour old loons out there. It's crazy what we're seeing. So I know we've said this, I don't know how many times on the show. If you're listening and you feel like you're losing your mind, you're not. It is the world. We're seeing crap that we never thought we'd see. I mean, it's just, it's not truth. And the kids, my gosh, man. And where does it all start? And you could say, well, it's been going on for years. And then you have, you know, the likes of the World Economic Forum that have so much influence on so many companies around the world doing things that countries could not do with their amount of influence. And the Black Rocks, Vanguard, State Street, that control all the money. That's why it's so maddening when we see the Bud Lights and the Targets doing what they're doing. Like, it doesn't make sense to the people that buy your products. It doesn't matter. That's not what the CEOs are getting their bonuses on. It's how many points they get through ESG. It's crazy. But yeah, dude, I mean, we all bring different stories into the show, and I knew you had this one. Did America's wokest school district finally go too far? That's freaking nuts.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
And the one, you know, homeschooling's up like 80%, you know. Well, now you understand.
Yeah. Where are you at now with that, David? What are you thinking?
Oh, public school?
Because you got a three-year-old, a one-year-old.
No, we're full steam ahead with homeschooling. And unfortunately, Republicans in the state of Texas couldn't get the school choice thing done this legislative session. So try again next time. Try a little harder next time.
What was the block there?
Oh, just, yeah, what wound up coming out of the woodwork was a watered-down bill that even Ted Cruz came out, even though he didn't get a say, said, yeah, mm-hmm. this passes, Abbott should veto it.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, and you feel bad for the people that don't have the means to homeschool.
Yeah.
Wow. I also saw this. Racial preferences won't go easily. This was a piece in the Wall Street Journal. This is talking about colleges. Because you might remember this. The decision is going to be coming down soon with Harvard and the University of North Carolina that they violated the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause and associated federal statutes by considering race and admissions. If you remember this, it was a lot of Asian Americans were getting shut out.
Yeah.
And like, okay, this would be good to say, hey, no, you can't do that. This should be on merit. But they talk about, you may be familiar with this, when you look in the future, if you look at a place like a high school in Alexandria, Virginia, Thomas Jefferson High School, highly rated public magnet school where the student body was until recently more than 70% Asian American. But in 2020, administrators decided they want a greater percentage of Black and Latino students, but didn't want to use race directly in admissions because, of course, that would be controversial. Can't do it. So they reverse engineered the outcome they sought. So middle schools in Northern Virginia are a good proxy for race. By limiting how many students could attend Thomas Jefferson from each middle school, administrators increased Black and Latino enrollment and decreased Asian American enrollment. So it's just like a proxy.
Okay.
To get the outcome.
Yeah.
And they're saying in the future, they'll probably outlaw the proxy as well. You would hope. Because it should be on merit. That's America.
Yeah.
It's not quotas. For
but
crying
it's
out
not
loud.
Equal.
What? No. What? So many things in life are not equal.
Of course you're right.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
It's like you have to go back over common sense things with so much of this to try to undo how freaking warped it's gotten.
Well, I think to help you propel yourself into the higher echelon of education in terms of grade point average and those sort of things, you should just take the identity of someone who has a really high GPA and dare them to tell you you're not smart.
Well, with... If you don't know, Scott, grade point average, yeah. That's a tool of white supremacy.
Well, whatever gets me to where I need to go, that's who I will become.
There you go.
And claim that's who I am. Therefore, who are you to tell me I'm not the president of this bank?
Okay. I know this
fascist
goes into a circle at some point. All right, yeah. It's that time of the show. Going around the table, it may not be the biggest story out there, but it caught your attention. Today, David, what's your story?
I like this. Nearly 800,000 cars in Maryland are driving around with older license plates featuring a tribute to the War of 1812. But there's something else on the license plate that's causing some headaches right now for the Motor Vehicle Administration in the state of Maryland. What it has is a URL, www.starspangled200.org. Which used to be, you know, a website that you go to learn about American history as a nonprofit organization. Well, what somebody just found out is that since at least December, the URL is now owned by an international gambling outfit based in the Philippines.
Oh, my gosh! Gee whiz.
Oh, that's pretty good. Scott, what's your story today?
Well, when it comes to helping the Democrats push their Florida DeSantis Don't Say Gay law, a lot of media outlets, of course, are on board. The Associated Press just recently ran a story. The administration of Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis, is moving forward to forbid classroom instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity in all grades, expanding the current Don't Say Gay law. Well, Central Florida is about to become a hub for LGBTQ plus life. Tens of thousands of people are flocking to Florida's theme parks and hotels this week during the decades-long tradition known as Gay Days. Now, why would these people want to go to some sort of hellscape like Florida for their celebration?
Yeah, I thought they were... I thought they were not safe. I thought there was
they're
like
putting their lives on the line, David, to even go there.
Yeah.
Well, I think the NAACP said blacks and, you know, people of the Alphabet Club are not safe when you go to Florida. That's also unreal. For my story today, this probably won't get a whole lot of attention. I mean, it has gone viral. It was a senior prank. Okay, I know. Before you go with judging, this was kind of a different sort of prank. So we talked about the other ones. Kids in Maryland put their high school up for sale on Zillow. Kids in North Carolina filled their school's toilets with cement.
Yeah.
Wow. Gosh dang.
But another one, this was a few weeks ago, actually. An entire class of high school seniors in Delaware pranked their principal by sneaking into her house in the middle of the night and sleeping on the floor.
Well,
are you horrified?
Yeah, that's a good way to get shot.
It's a private Christian school. Mm-hmm. The principal's name is Joy McGrath. So as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, what in the world? And then when you see the reaction, because there's a video of it, you come away with something different. Roll it. She opens the door. She came in downstairs. She opens this door, and there's all of these kids, like between 60 and 70. And then when she talks to him, she says this.
Good morning, little bunny. And all of you.
You might want to walk around.
Oh, you are in the most trouble.
Like, how long have you been here? They're like, since 1 o'clock, it was 6 o'clock in the morning.
Golly.
And you can tell, she just thought it was, oh my goodness, this is like so hilarious.
Good morning, little bunnies.
Yes. Was like this. I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite like that. Mm. Like a relationship with the principal with the kids where there's like this sort of mutual love.
Yeah.
That was kind of crazy to me.
Yeah. So the students had a sleepover at her house?
And she didn't know about
it. No, they snuck in.
I know, but they.
Yeah, but slept on the floor.
On the floor.
I was going to say, with that setup, though, a bunch of purple haired kindergarten teachers in Florida are applying for jobs at that school.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's the public school somewhere, I mean, that could mean something completely different. That's the difference. It was a Christian school.
Yeah.
Okay. Much more to get to. I like it when David writes, Berkeley Law hires ousted communist. I can't wait to hear this story. This sounds too good. Straight ahead. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, Berkeley Law hired who?
Oh, remember the ousted communist district attorney of San Francisco? And I don't use communist just as a pejorative here. He's literally a communist. Chesa Boudin is his name.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, his parents were communist terrorists. They went to prison because of the Brinks truck robbery gone wrong.
Was that?
Years ago. They were
late 60s, early 70s?
Yeah, they were part of the Weather Underground extremist group, and then he was taken in by a guy who wound up helping shape the American public education system.
Yes. Yeah, and then the media just protected him.
Yeah. So he used to be, Chesa Boudin, used to be the San Francisco district attorney until, well, people got tired of getting stabbed and shot in the street and robbed, and they got tired of having Walgreens and CVSs and other stores closing down. So they gave him the boot. 60% of people in San Francisco, the most liberal city in America, said, you're too commie for us.
That's almost impossible, by the way.
Berkeley Law has hired him to be the executive director of the school's Criminal Law and Justice Center. Damn now, it. He blames hysteria for his ouster. He says, well, there was a lot of disinformation about crime. Disinformation that leads to multi-million dollar companies pulling out of a region because of crime? Really? You think they were just reading Fox News reports and said, well, we better shut down that Walgreens?
No, it's what happens everywhere. Yeah. You let people write back out. I mean, violent crime.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you know what? It's not really stealing if it's less than $900.
But let's have this guy teach an entire next generation that will be involved in
this. That's how the education system has worked.
That is absolutely frightening.
So churn out more communists so that next time he can actually be successful in retaining his position, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's the whole plan. This is crazy to me. Okay. Hey, you guys happen to see Bruce Springsteen in the news?
I didn't, no.
Oh, it was, he's fine. He was on stage doing a show, and he, you know, there's little stairs, and he's trying to run up, and boom!
He went down, huh?
He went down, like, and then kind of rolled over after. Boom! And then people, other guitar player comes over, you all right? And then they're helping him up. Okay, by saying goodnight, everybody, but then he kept playing.
No
one looks at Springsteen the same, do they?
No, you can't. I was a big fan, too.
He lies awake at night wondering why he'll never be considered in the same regard as Bob Seger.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robert Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay. The border is mostly secure.
Yeah.
Who said this?
That's good, right? Mostly secure. There's an activist named Daniel Costa. He's been pushing the Biden administration and lawmakers on Capitol Hill to ease the rules to allow illegal immigrants to work in the United States more easily. He was testifying in front of a Senate committee, and Republican Senator John Kennedy, always good for a soundbite, asked him about the state of play at the border, and this was a fun exchange.
What grade, A, B, C, D, F, would you give President Biden's administration on combating illegal immigration?
Simple enough question.
I don't know what grade I would put. I think they've made some useful improvements. I think that the border has, there's so much money going to the border that I think the border is mostly secure. People are mostly turning themselves in. They're not really crossing the border without authorization.
You can't give a grade. You're an expert on immigration, and you can't give a grade.
Oh, I guess if I had to, I'd probably be about a C, right in the middle somewhere.
A C?
And the reason it was a C, by the way, is because, well, the Biden administration's made some progress, but they did keep some policies from the Trump administration. So put them right in the middle.
Okay.
It's not open enough.
Okay.
You know, don't you wish every one of these claims had to have a disclaimer attached to it, like drug ads or car dealer ads or anything like that?
Like this person full of crap.
Yeah. This person may be completely insane. Results may vary.
Yeah, that would be kind of fun, actually.
Yeah. You had it mandated by law. You had to at least give the possibility that what you're saying is garbage.
You know, man, I can't help but think Republicans were in charge from 2016 to 2018. Mm-hmm. Things could have been done.
Yeah.
They weren't done. So that's also frustrating. I'm not going to go off right now.
No.
Okay, maybe I am.
All right,
gosh,
do it.
Dang it, I've had it with all of it. Haven't you?
Yeah.
Both parties.
Yeah.
And we know the Democrats want this to happen, but the Republicans, they've had chances at different times. Mm-hmm. That's what I go back to, because you kind of knew you were in for this in 2020 if Biden took office, and then there it goes. And it, honestly, I think we've all said this, it's worse than we ever thought it would be. What are we talking? 6 to 8 million people don't know where they are.
Yep.
Who knows who has come across? And every once in a while, like around Memorial Day weekend, you'll see, you know, different specials about terrorist cells at different times trying to come into the country. We have no freaking idea what's going on.
No.
And that's a really scary thing. I'll just leave it at that. You know, and then it's the promise again of, well, Republicans get back in control, they're going to take care of the border.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it has to be the president and Congress together, obviously. I mean, you thought we were going to do it before, but there were too many Republicans when Trump was elected. Well, that talk of the wall, it scares people. Yeah. It sounds xenophobic, and I want to get elected again. Okay. Way to serve your country, jackass. Okay, moving on. Hate crimes for what? Burning a flag? What flag?
Yeah, it was the LGBTQ, LMNOP, Alpha, Omega, Boron flag.
Mm-hmm.
It was burned at an elementary school in Southern California this month. This was at Satakoya Elementary School in North Hollywood last weekend. And a Los Angeles police spokesperson said that the incident is being investigated as a vandalism hate crime. That's what the headlines all say, that, oh, my gosh, somebody broke into a school and burned this big flag. You know what it was, actually?
What?
It was a little 4x6-inch pride flag that was in a potted plant.
That's it?
The plant was destroyed as well, by the way.
Oh, no, the green greenies are going nuts, too.
and so that is being investigated as a hate crime. I remember a time, and I was in that boat, where liberals said, look, you know, you don't have to like it, you don't have to agree with it, mm-hmm. but the idea of burning the American flag mm-hmm. should be legal, that should be protected free speech. The ACLU was all over that. Like, you can find it completely disgusting and objectionable, and I certainly do. But that is protected speech. It is amazing to now witness liberals saying you cannot burn a 4x6 pride flag, or what was the situation in Florida? I forget what town it was in, where they had done the whole inclusion flag with all the trans stuff and the rainbow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They painted it on the sidewalk, and then some dude driving like an F-250 did a burnout on it. Yes. This is a hate crime, is what a couple of people said. Why would they do this? You cannot deface symbols of the woke religion. That's what we've been told now.
Well, I mean, so many things that liberals used to stand up for, they don't anymore. And that's just it. Well, and what university was it where someone was speaking and then they had these like therapy rooms for students that just hearing the speech was getting to them?
Yeah.
And they were suffering from it. So they had like these help therapy rooms. You're like, okay, if it ever comes down to it and you got to fight it out, these people are going to melt.
Well, right.
This is
why leftists for a long time have been so focused, almost laser focused on institutional capture, because mm-hmm. they know that there's no way they can win in a stand-up fight.
Oh, no. I mean, well, if you get an entire institution that's all looking for the cry closet when it's time to go, I mean, they're not going to beat anybody.
Yeah, when China kicks your door down. They probably will leave you alone if you're in your cry closet at the time.
Yeah.
Don't you worry. You stay right there.
You're not speaking my real pronouns.
It's like the Geneva Convention has that as part of it now, right?
Yeah, the Chinese invaders, the communist invaders will say, your pronouns are now, get in that cell.
Yes. Yes, female dog.
And screwed.
Okay. Yes. Elon Musk. He did this interview with the Babylon Bee.
Yeah.
He's talked to him before. This is pretty cool.
I thought this was really interesting, and it's something that we've hit on, and especially, Scott, you've hit on a lot. And Babylon Bee, of course, a Christian conservative satire website.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about, Elon Musk did, about why the left can't laugh anymore and why humor on the left has gotten so stale and shrill.
The essence of a lot of comedy is a revealed truth, mm-hmm. Like a hidden truth that people understand intuitively or explicitly. There's that sort of moment of revealed, you know, kernel of truth, of often unacknowledged truth. And in that unacknowledged truth is the humor. If you're, you know, premised on a lie, you can no longer be funny because there's no revealed truth.
Time out for just a second. Are you uncomfortable, Scott?
I see. He makes me a little white knuckle, too, when I'm listening to him.
Hearing Elon Musk?
Yeah. Just,
you mentioned that earlier in the show with Robert Kennedy
Jr.
Yeah,
it's that whole...
Just because getting the thoughts out for him.
And they're good.
He's a brilliant guy.
No, they're really sound when they get there.
And he's got a great sense of humor. You can tell by his tweets. Yeah, I think sometimes he has a hard time.
I think if I were friends with him, I'd say, don't call me, just text me.
Let's get to the rest of what he said.
And this is, you know, why a lot of people on the left have no sense of humor. They're not funny. And if there are so many no-fly zones, you know, that you have to avoid all the time, then there's nothing left to make to have fun about, you know.
Yeah. You look like you're suffering listening to him, Scott.
It's very difficult. I want to talk for him. I want to just say, yeah.
You're over there. Today, Junior.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Sometimes I think he's just trying to be thoughtful.
He is, but it's just so tough sometimes to follow.
I understand. Because
what he's saying is really good. It's true.
It's true.
These people have no sense of humor. Nothing's funny to them. They live in this dour world where the only thing really is funny is the misfortune of people they politically don't like. That's funny to them.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, they find humor in nothing.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true.
This actually triggered a memory of mine, and I think we talked about it at the time when this first came out. The Atlantic did an interview back in 2021 with Kyle Mann, the guy who actually runs the Babylon Bee, the guy who started the Babylon Bee.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing was super dramatic from their standpoint. They called the podcast episode, "Who Would Jesus Mock?" Are you really a Christian if you're making fun of people and all of that? Mm-hmm. And I thought Kyle Mann came across as one funny, witty, but also very thoughtful on that basic premise of that tension between trying to follow in Jesus's steps, but then also having fun at other people's expense. And I thought he had a lot of good things to say. But in the vein of how liberals can't be funny anymore, the way they wrapped it up, the way the hosts wrapped up the podcast, is just a perfect example of what Elon Musk and so many of us have said about why the left can't laugh anymore, why they're not funny anymore.
Roll it.
Did you get a sense that Kyle grappled with the ethical questions of, is he doing harm with these jokes in any real way?
There probably isn't humor, especially humor that gets at all political, that Americans could just set aside their differences and find funny together. Like, can we not sit down and just share a good belly laugh at a dumb joke anymore? This is my lament for America.
My lament for America.
For America.
Yeah, and their whole premise was comedy used to be something that we could all join in on and laugh. Well, not really, not always. Comedy is always at somebody or something's expense.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think maybe there was a time, and shoot, man, you tell me, Scott, where it used to be like, say, a late night host. They're going to take shots at whoever the president was at the time. And it would a lot of times be funny. It didn't matter if it was your guy or not. You would laugh because, you know, there was a point to it. But it wasn't a mean-spirited sort of, I don't know, completely political take. It was making fun of whatever the situation was at the time, maybe.
The host at that time, I mean, if you want to go back to the Carson days, knew that Republicans and Democrats equally watched his show.
Yeah.
So if you're an equal opportunity offender, and if they're going to take it that way, that's fine. But I think everybody laughed because you knew that there was no agenda behind what he was saying.
At least that's what you thought at the
time. At least, yeah. I mean, that was the perception that he gave you every night. I mean, do you think Kimmel worries about that? He didn't care.
Well, you had to go one way or he was going to lose his gig.
He's a lefty hacky and Colbert and the rest of them. I mean, they're all that way.
Yeah. Well,
how many times have we seen them now, between Kimmel and Colbert, actually go and cry during the opening monologue?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. Can you imagine the quivering lip of Johnny Carson? No.
It's like, I think I saw a clip of
even
him.
Jay Leno, you wouldn't have seen it.
I think there was one clip, maybe, of Johnny Carson. I think it was Johnny Carson. Tear up a little bit, but it was because, oh, who was it? Was it Andy Griffith reading a poem about his dead dog?
Yeah, that could have been, yeah.
And it was like, okay, well, I understand that, because it was a beautiful poem.
Yeah. But the election of Joe Biden was worthy a good cry.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's a great point. Thank you for the Carson reference, because I could
barely remember that. Now, what about Jack Benny?
Hey, Old Man River.
Just kidding, man. Just kidding.
I have some memory of Jack Benny, but it was from... I mean, I wasn't around when Abe Lincoln was here either, but I know some things he said.
See, that made David laugh, and I laughed, but it was at your expense, and I apologize for that, Scott.
All right. Laugh away.
I'm lamenting for Scott Robbins.
Good.
All right, news update you don't want to miss. Straight ahead right here. All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Three domestic terrorists arrested in Atlanta. What's the story, David?
Dude, this is one of those stories that I got to tell you, if this was Proud Boys occupying public land and terrorizing a community and assaulting police officers and whatnot, this would be like the story.
Well, yeah, because that's the biggest threat to America.
But in fact, what it is a bunch of left-wing terrorists who are occupying outside of Atlanta this area that's going to be a massive police and fire training facility. They've called it Cop City, and they want to save the forest. They're calling themselves Forest Defenders. They've shot at police. They've vandalized construction equipment. In fact, one time after being cleared out just a few days ago, they left behind booby traps, like, you know, boards with nails in them, so if you step on the wrong place, it'll boom, hit you.
Jeez.
Well, now three people associated with it have been arrested, not on domestic terrorism charges, as others have been, but they're arrested on money laundering and charity fraud charges because, well, there was a little bit of funny bookkeeping going on as they were raising money to finance their terrorism.
Hmm.
I don't understand how this isn't a bigger story, and every time I come across an update from it, I get embarrassed that I'm not bringing it to the show at least once a week. Because this has been going on for months.
You know, man, how sometimes we always have the answer to these things. But sometimes you're just trying to use reason with these different stories, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes it all comes down to, you'll say, David, well, they're just all bad people.
Yeah.
And you can kind of always go back to that. Or, you know, a lot of these people want to diddle your kids.
Yeah.
You're like, well, yes. You know, as far as, you know, the media, news media, and a whole lot of the country, they want to completely change the United States to a totalitarian regime.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds nuts, but that's exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of come back to that.
Yeah.
And the media's in on that. That's why they don't report on these stories.
I mean, I know, to clear these freak shows out of that forest, my solution, I know it wouldn't be politically advantageous and would probably cause more problems than it solves, but these are terrorists dug in a public site. Go in weapons hot. I'm serious. I mean,
you'd have ton of people behind you.
Absolutely. You would. No,
yeah, you would.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
What if this is ISIS setting up, saying we're going to take over this parcel of land, this is our autonomous zone and whatnot? You'd do it. You wouldn't let them do it. You wouldn't let them take shots at cops and whatnot for months. Hell no. You'd go in. You'd
absolutely.
Come on. Let's do it.
Absolutely. On a lighter note, we hit on this just a little bit earlier. Polling. Most annoying things about sharing a bed. Anybody want to guess number one?
Tossing and turning. Jimmy legs.
The Jimmy legs.
That's second. Stealing the covers.
Yeah, I do that, and I don't mean to do it.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Oh, man, we got to get back to that later. What's the biggest story of the day, David?
Biggest story of the day. Man, there are a lot of things happening kind of all at once. One, you have the debt ceiling agreement passed through the House of Representatives. It goes on to the Senate. Not really sure when exactly they're going to be voting on that. Probably in the next two or three days, I guess. We'll see what happens there. Also, you have the Defense Department coming out and saying, you know, there's a lack of communication between the United States and China. And boy, if we keep having these flyby incidents with the Chinese Air Force, something bad is going to happen here. They're very worried.
Well, yeah, and China's just kind of like, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
All right, we'll get to all that coming up right here. Yeah. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. I'm Jamie Markley, the Gen Xer, David Van Camp, the Millennial, the Sexy Boomer, Scott Robbins. Thank you very much for being here. I don't know if you knew this or not, but the walls are closing in on President Trump.
Oh, of course. Of course
are they
are. Yeah.
That's what we were told.
But I just, the last set of walls that we're closing in.
Did I just time travel back to 2017?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, no. They've been closing in for a long time. Yeah. Think of it like end times. We've been in the end times for a long time now.
Yeah.
And those walls are closing in on Trump. Now, that might happen in 2037. It might happen next month. We don't know. But the walls are closing in, David. Freaking telling you.
CNN had the big scoop last night. They heard from sources that other sources heard from their sources that there's a tape of Donald Trump talking about classified documents. They'd say, in the tape you can hear him. Because apparently he had everything recorded after leaving office, any conversation with journalists, anybody. I guess somebody was there writing a biography of Mark Meadows or whatever. Again, the setup really doesn't matter all that much, but something was being recorded. And as the story goes, he's talking about having some document about Iran, and you can hear him waving a piece of paper. Now, it's not clear if that's the piece of paper with the classified intelligence in it. Well, probably not. But he's saying then there, basically the common take, even though nobody's heard the tape, that is that Trump is acknowledging that he wasn't supposed to or not allowed to take the documents that he took to Mar-a-Lago with him.
Well, just so you know, too, that's enough if CNN reports that without hearing it.
Yeah.
That NBC can run with it.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
On the Today Show.
Insanity.
Here you go.
Now, sources tell us that...
No, that's the CNN. Let's go to the NBC. This is funny. Go ahead.
I did everything right. I did nothing wrong.
Citing multiple sources familiar with the investigation, CNN is reporting that prosecutors have obtained an audio recording indicating Trump knew he kept classified material after leaving the White House. The recording is from a July 2021 meeting in which Trump discusses a classified Pentagon document about a potential attack on Iran, according to CNN, which noted it has not listened to the recording. NBC News has not confirmed the reporting.
But let's go with it anyway.
Yeah, let's go.
Haven't listened to it, can't confirm it, but we're going to go with the story.
Yep.
What the hell is going on? Seriously. This is like malpractice, isn't it, David?
Yeah, I can't imagine going with a story, like as a reporter actually saying, I'm going to go to my boss and say, I've got this scoop. Mm-hmm. It's an audio recording of, let's say, it's a local city official talking about something that indicates corruption. The first question my boss would have asked me is, well, have you heard the tape? No, but I heard about the tape from someone who had heard about the tape from someone who had heard the tape.
I've been in meetings like this. That person's laughed out of the room.
Yeah, that person's not, you're not going on the air with that.
Right? No.
You kidding me? And how many times have we seen this play out where here's some supposed bombshell that comes out about Donald Trump, but we don't have the audio, we're not going to share it with you, this is just what we're telling. This is what we're going to tell you was said, and we're going to try to frame it in such a way. Because if it was that damaging, they would have published the audio. They would have had the audio. They would have played it. We would have heard it.
Right.
And
no question.
I submit to you the Access Hollywood tape. Right. Nobody, there was no preamble, right? Nobody was like, we have this Access Hollywood tape. No, man. They just published it. They grabbed them by their... They just did
it. They sat on it for months.
Yeah. Well, NBC News actually did sit on it for months because they wanted to release it later, closer to the election. And then the Washington Post got it, and they published it within, what, 24 hours, 48 hours, something like that?
Sounds right.
But these guys just went with a story.
Yep.
Saying CNN, somebody told CNN, somebody else told somebody else. They heard this tape. And then he says NBC can't confirm it.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Well, democracy dies in darkness.
Well, what are we doing here? Haven't heard the tape, can't confirm it, but let's do a 3-minute story on it.
Well, there is something else I heard. I didn't hear it in the reporting.
What is going on, man?
I heard there's also a tape of Russian hookers whizzing on classified documents, and Trump was watching.
He instructed them to whiz on classified documents.
That was the story.
He told him to mop up the mess with a map of tactical advantage sites in Uganda.
Yes. Yes. Because oh it was God. Under you. It was way back there. Right. So, you know, like nobody will ever know.
I said,
notice.
What?
Trump's like, what?
What happened?
No, we're joking. That's a joke.
It's the most ridiculous.
No, that was just a joke.
That is ridiculous tease. That is a ridiculous story.
Yeah. Jeez. I was just playing that off air, and Robbins was losing. I'm
well,
like, oh,
I mean, he
on.
Qualified every reason you can't go up with it and went up with it.
Yes. Yeah, in the scenario David brought forth, not only would that story might not make it on, but imagine, David, if you said, I haven't heard it, but our competitor across the street
right.
has heard it. Yeah. But they don't really have
but
it.
But we can't confirm they heard
right.
it.
Yes. Okay.
Unbelievable.
Moving on. The Chicago mayor off to a great start, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Blaming violence on what?
Oh, disinvestment in communities, of course. So dozens of people were shot. At least 11 were killed over the holiday weekend in Chicago. The new mayor, Brandon Johnson, blames institutional trauma for it.
Institutional trauma?
Here he is reacting to the carnage during an interview with ABC 7.
We have a lot of work to do in the city. Poverty didn't go away over the weekend. Like, we understand that when communities have been disinvested in and traumatized, that you're seeing the manifestation of that trauma. This weekend, what you saw...
Hold on. So, it's just a rule. It's going to happen. If you're poor, you're going to start busting caps all over the
yeah.
place.
Yeah.
You're just going to shoot people.
I'm going to say, I've been poor before. I've never murdered anybody.
Yeah, but you were really privileged and you just didn't know it.
Yeah.
I know that crappy apartment you lived in Missouri.
Yeah.
I've heard the stories. The creepy crawlers all over. But that wasn't really poor.
Right.
Anyway, go on.
This weekend, what you saw on display is that everybody recognizes is that it's going to take all of us to unite this city and to build a better, stronger, safer city.
You know what? It doesn't take all of us. I'm so freaking tired of hearing it. You know what? It takes all of us. No, it doesn't. It takes law and cops that are able to do their job. It's happened in so many different cities where you let cops do their job and you get enough police. Say, just a warning out there, crime's going to stop. And this shoplifting crap and the carjacking stops. You're going to go to jail for a long time.
I'm going to run on the platform, build more prisons, not playgrounds. Sounds like a winner to me.
Isn't that also an NFL statement? It takes all of us.
Yeah, well, yes.
No, it doesn't. This happy pie in the sky crap. Goodness gracious,
we're
man.
Way past that. Way past that. There's no more kumbaya, man.
It doesn't take the little old lady, no. you know, living in some of these terrible neighborhoods. She needs to be protected.
Yeah.
She's been screaming about it for years,
yep.
falling on deaf ears. Yeah, it's infuriating. Okay. You know what? I don't even know if I'm going to bring up the Christopher Wray from the FBI story. Basically, it's this. It's from the New York Post saying Congress has to keep up the pressure on the FBI until he stops hiding the truth about the Biden family. And yes, I think we all agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
When is that story going to turn? I couldn't tell you. It seems like the powers that be would have to say, you know what, we're done with Biden. Go ahead, Christopher Wray. Let all the facts come out. That's the only thing that's going to happen that the American people will know what's gone on with the Biden family and all the corruption. Dude, we have bank records. 19 LLCs? Isn't that the number?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
We don't know what any of them did. But money came through there and went to 9 different Biden family members. And the investigation's going nowhere?
Yeah.
I think that tells you it's a rigged game. There's a deep state. Yes, I hope Congress keeps up the pressure. We'll see where it goes. Saw this, you know, not the biggest story out there today. But I happened to see this and it caught my attention because I've tried to do this a number of different times now, and it's not pleasant.
Oh.
It was the hottest new home amenity.
The hottest new home amenity.
From the Wall Street Journal.
Hmm.
Yes. It's the whole cold plunge thing, like the big old tubs where you get in freezing cold water. It's good for you.
Okay.
Have you heard of this phenomenon?
No.
David, have you heard of this phenomenon?
I've done it, yeah.
Okay. Can you explain to Scott what the benefits are supposed to be?
It's supposed to be something about increased circulation that helps with muscle recovery.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a number of different, quote, experts
talk about this. So there's ice in this thing and you get in it. Okay.
Yes. You think it's totally cool.
Well, I'm not going to do that. If you guys want to do it, fine by me.
Well, I know you're not going to do it. You just think it's crazy. You think there's no benefit.
Well, I don't know if there's a benefit or not. I can't imagine there would be one, but okay.
Well, yeah. You know what, man? Sometimes you don't know if it's actually doing this. It's just the placebo effect or there's something to it. But, I mean, we're all getting a little bit older. And after certain forms of exercise, it could be knees, it could be back pain, ankles, whatever it might be. I've done this probably six different times now. And I don't have one of these massive tubs. All it is getting into, well, it's kind of a little bathtub in our house. You fill it up with water, and then I get, you know, all the ice out of the freezer and dump it all in there. So there's still ice cubes in it when I get in.
Okay.
My daughter tells me it's got to be 8 minutes, Dad. Eight? I thought it was five. I was thinking like Joe Rogan said five.
Yeah, I've always
swore it was eight.
I've always heard the range is like between 5 and 10 minutes.
Okay. I figured the kids are probably just goofing on me. Let me watch kids doing their breathing. It's no fun. I guarantee you that.
No.
Did you, I mean, when you did it, how long did it take you to, like, just to get to the point where you're comfortable enough there was no, like, pain involved?
Oh, I don't think I ever got comfortable in it.
Oh, okay. How did I say
but
it?
But where it's tolerable.
When you first get in, it's like your breathing goes crazy. You're like, you're trying to go like, oh my gosh, it's so freezing.
Probably after the first 90 seconds.
That's what I would say. You know, but here's the thing. When you got one of those tubs, like, again, some of these things cost like $2,000. One's $19,000.
Oh, gosh, dang.
I mean, it's the Wall Street Journal. It's a little pricier. And then you can get, you know, was it the inflatable one for maybe a couple hundred bucks, something like that? I haven't thought about investing that much in it. I'm just testing this out in a tub. But you can't get all of your body in there. So if it's your back, you're laying on your back, then your knees are up out of the water.
Yeah.
So I've been going with the route of 4 minutes and then ease back to get your knees in. But that's a whole other part of your body that hasn't been exposed. And you go through that crap all over again. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But you do feel better when the whole thing's done.
Yeah, but isn't it possible? I mean, like in my case, I don't know if I would because of the whole heart thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't say that.
I mean, that might go into cardiac arrest immediately. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. But in this story, if you're interested, it's talking about all these different people, different ages, and the benefits, and this is like the hot new thing. I don't know how long it will last, but apparently people have been doing this for thousands of years.
Yeah. I guess
save your money, and for 3 months out of the year, you just come over. I'll hose you down in the yard.
Well, one of the first tutorials I saw on it, because my brother had told me about it and different people, was you can do it in a shower, just as cold as it'll get. That's worse than getting the body in the tub, to me. Because you're, you know, if it's going on your back and then you got to turn to the front, and it just sucks.
Golly.
Yeah. But, you know, it's going to make you feel better. You know what? Hit Robbins up on Facebook.
Yeah.
If you've tried it and found benefit.
Mm-hmm. Or died, or know someone who's died.
Either way, if there's a story to tell, we want to know it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Much more to get to. Utah Republican resigned. Why did he do it? And when we give you the reason, will Robbins believe it? That's the question. Straight ahead. All right. It's the Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. So this Utah Republican, David.
Yeah.
Resigning.
Yeah, Representative Chris Stewart. He's resigning from Congress. He's been there for six terms. Kind of came out of nowhere. Took people by surprise. So he is resigning, and he's wanting to spend more time with his family.
Uh-oh. Robbins doesn't believe it.
Sounds legit.
It does to you?
Yeah, kind of.
Anytime someone says spend more time with the family, you always
call foul. Well, usually that means they got fired. In this case, the guy didn't get fired.
No.
What happened?
He's stepping down.
Why?
Family issues.
What family issues?
His, I guess.
So you believe it?
Well, he's not getting fired. Usually that's the fired one.
Okay.
Usually when you get booted, You know, then it's either it was a mutual agreement, which of course it never is, or it was he's stepping down to be with his family.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Meaning well, I got canned.
Yeah, he says that his wife is sick.
Ailing, right?
Yeah.
Or something, yeah.
So, yeah, he is going to be spending time with her.
Good for him, man. He should.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, that's a total fabrication.
Yeah. Well, if you didn't know this story already, you would have said, no, he's not.
Well, but I knew it, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah, I think, to me, it's kind of refreshing. I'm not happy that his wife is ailing. I hope she gets better. I don't know the details there are. But, you know, when you see in a world of, like, Dianne Feinstein's where they're wheeling her off of her deathbed to go vote.
You're right.
Yep. When they've got John Fetterman, a suicidal stroke victim, who they're putting out there, and Joe Biden, for crying out loud. And even the late John McCain, who refused to resign his seat after knowing he had likely terminal brain cancer. It is refreshing to see a politician be a human being for once and recognize what's really important in their lives.
And 100%, that's, and that's 100%. Really the reason. They're not waiting for an indictment or, you know, I mean, he's doing it for all the right reasons. That's why I'm comfortable with this guy.
Yeah, that's good.
But nobody wants to spend more time with their family. They get the boot.
I don't know if I agree with that, but you got some feedback about people that have done the whole cold plunge and getting in ice water.
Yeah,
for
we got a few people who have come back to us and said that in reference to cold plunges,
it does work.
It does work. The guy, one of our listeners said the same thing you did. First 40 seconds are the worst.
Oh yeah,
and after that, if you can hang. He gets to say it's like getting hit with a lightning bolt when he's done. He has all this energy.
Yeah, a lot of people say if you're going to do it more in the morning than later on in the evening. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robert Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Camp Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Oh, we've got something fresh here.
Yeah, we do. So Joe Biden was giving the graduation, or was at the graduation ceremony for the U.S. Air Force Academy, and was speaking to the new graduates and gave the address, of course, and then tried to reference the flyover that was going to happen shortly after the ceremony concluded, or after his speech wrapped up.
Okay. That's what we're going to hear?
That's what we're going to hear, him trying to make reference to this.
All right, roll it.
By the way, I met with who are those guys that fly over shortly? You heard of them, haven't you? Three of them are women.
What?
So don't screw around, guys.
It's the Thunderbirds. Called.
Remember you used to introduce him, David, as the totally not senile president?
Yeah.
I'm going to bring that back.
Absolutely not. Perish the thought. It's a stutter.
All right. I'm sorry, man. It's only like 8 seconds. I got to hear
it again. Yeah, I do too.
Okay.
Who are those guys that fly over shortly? You heard of them, haven't you? Three of them are women.
It's so uncomfortable, man.
So don't screw around, guys.
Okay.
Golly.
The creepy delivery.
Yeah.
Three of them are women. Phyllis!
Three of them are women.
Hey.
This is a weird,
creepy uncle. Holy cow, man.
But he forgot the name of the Thunderbirds?
Yeah.
That's insanity. That's why you're there.
You forget stuff all the time, dude.
I remember the Thunderbirds. Wasn't Jimmy Vaughn part of that one?
Yeah, the Fab T-Bird. Toughen up. Wow. Okay. By the way, this is totally off topic, and I don't know what to make of the story, but I think it will be interesting later today. Tara Reid, not the actress.
Oh, the
Biden accuser.
Yeah, right, I remember her.
That she has defected to Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, man.
That is weird, yeah.
Well, she was going to testify before Congress. Matt Gaetz was putting that together. And apparently, she was told she couldn't be protected. So the next thing you know, she's telling people, yeah, she's gone. She's defected to Russia. Left her home, pets. And I believe Megyn Kelly is supposed to talk to her today.
Really? Well, that'll be interesting.
That's what I thought.
Of all the places to defect to.
I don't know too much about this.
Go to Belgium. You could go to Germany. You could go to England. You could.
That she has spoken, how would I say it? Somewhat favorably of Putin. Okay? That's the way I've understood it. That could be wrong.
Weird.
But I mean, I'm sure as far as Russia goes, yeah, come over here. Mm-hmm. We'll protect you here.
Yeah.
You know, they were there for Edward Snowden.
Yeah.
Sure, they'd be there for Tara Reid.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll wait and see what comes out of that interview. Because honestly, I think, like a lot of people, I'm not sure what to make of it.
No.
Were there serious threats out there so that she wouldn't testify? Because in a lot of places, that story got completely buried by legacy media.
Yeah.
It's like any other accuser, believe accuser, except that one. Except her when she's talking about Biden.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty crazy. And we do know there's audio of Trump talking about keeping classified documents.
No, we don't know that.
Well,
we don't know.
CNN said it, right. And you can trust them.
Yeah, CNN is reporting that they heard from a friend of a friend of a friend of a college roommate that there is a source saying that there's a tape of Donald Trump talking about taking classified documents, specifically about some document about Iran. And we're all supposed to just believe this at face value, even though, admittedly, CNN hasn't actually heard the tape.
Roll it.
Now, sources tell us that on this tape, Trump says that he has a classified Pentagon document describing a possible attack on Iran. We're also told that you can hear a paper rustling. It appears that he might be waving something around. On this recording, you can hear Trump suggest that he would like to share this information with the people he's speaking with, but he acknowledges that there are limits to his power to declassify post-presidency. And as one source told me, that is a real problem.
Mm. Yeah. But we heard it. Heard it from a friend who
heard it from,
heard it from a friend who
heard it
from another. You've been messing around.
Right, yeah. It's the REO Speedwagon defense.
Yes. Take it on the run, baby. Right.
I like their defense, too, because some there was an interview with one of Trump's lawyers who was saying that, you know, somebody leaked the tape and we're not going to comment on this. And then somebody said, there was no leaking. This is the result of deeply sourced reporting from our very own Jim Sciutto. Jim Sciutto is a reporter now, but he used to work in the Obama administration.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he has never gotten anything wrong, right? Except for Russian collusion stuff and all of that. They just can't quit this crap. Like, give me the tape or shut up. Honestly, I don't care anymore. You people, I remember the, I can't remember. Was it LaDavid Johnson? Was that his name? He was a soldier who was killed in Africa during an operation years ago when Trump was president. And the cowboy hat wearing congresswoman in Florida went out there claiming that Trump basically said that soldier had it coming to the widow. Said something like, well, he knew what he was getting into. But then it comes out, well, that's not actually how that conversation went down. How that conversation actually went down was he said, you know, this is why we honor the sacrifice of people who serve in uniform, because they know that this is a possibility that they can get killed in the line of duty. There have been a ton of examples where you hear, well, I overheard this conversation, I overheard that conversation, where someone was talking about something that Trump said, maybe at one point, and it all amounts to nothing. This is narrative crafting. That's all it is.
Propaganda, man. Golly. Oh, you know what? I think this may be good news, but I'm not getting too excited about it. We'll see. ESG. I mean, you could take a while to explain this. If ESG goes away, it's better for the world in so many different ways. This is how so many companies run. Got to have diversity, equity, inclusion. It's basically, don't know how else to say it, David, other than to say it comes from a Marxist belief system.
Yes. Yeah, it's about equity, about trying to achieve equal outcomes. It's the new vanguard of the proletariat that they're talking about here. And what it really means is civilizational death.
Yes. It sounds crazy to a lot of people, but that's true. I see this headline, Wall Street Journal. ESG blowback. Exxon, Chevron investors reject climate measures. What does that mean? I'll just read a little from the story, and you tell me what your takeaway is, okay? An investor-driven climate change push at some of the world's largest oil companies has stalled out. Yesterday, ExxonMobil and Chevron, their shareholders, struck down a raft of proposals urging the companies to cut greenhouse gas emissions derived from fuel consumption, put out new reports on climate benchmarks, and disclose certain oil spill risks, among other initiatives. The votes were abysmal for climate activists. All but two of the 20 shareholder proposals for the two companies garnered less than 25% of investors' vote, according to preliminary results. And then it goes into some of the controversial proposals. And they also go on to say, in recent weeks, similar climate proposals failed to win over most shareholders at annual meetings of British oil and gas giants BP and Shell.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying the investment strategies linked to ESG has gained momentum in recent years, especially after 2020. But as far as the oil companies, they don't see how they're going to win with that.
Yeah. I think there's also another element at play here, is that what has been talked about for the last year and a half or so, as people have been wondering, oh my gosh, why are all these companies doing this? And then you find out the ESG cartel, the scam that's going on here. And one of the best pieces of advice that people got, and I don't think a lot of people were aware they could do this, is if you do have various investments, you can call the person who handles your money and say, I need to set up a proxy voter or something to vote against this whenever this goes in front of a company or in front of shareholders. You have the power to influence the way that companies behave directly if you own shares of the company. And a lot of people have started doing that.
Yeah, because, I mean, you get these activists that all of a sudden take over boards of major companies. You control everything.
Yep.
And that's, a lot of what we've seen. But, it also goes on to say, and then we can move on, that all these shareholders' votes backing off of these climate goals said, it's been drowned out following Russia's war in Ukraine, which caused oil and gas prices to skyrocket as global supplies were crimped. And that has something to do with it, too.
Yeah.
I hope that all sort of pans out because, as you said, they have the power to do it. We'll see. On a lighter note, speaking of transportation, you're driving around a car in certain places. You got people like walking across the street, looking at their phone, oblivious to a car coming their way.
Yeah.
Heard about that in several places.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, in Mulberry, Florida, they're talking road signs, watching out for smartphone zombies. That's what it's called, actual signs. Because you've got all these people just walking around. A city official said, I got the idea from a meme, but I think it's important.
Well, yeah, it's pretty good.
It's not that you can't get a good idea from a meme. He said, around schools and libraries, kids are often walking around on their phones and sometimes wearing headphones, too. Some people said, this is ridiculous. Others said, well, we're going to make the signs locally, relatively at a low cost. It doesn't hurt to raise awareness of the fact that pedestrians are not always as alert as they should be. So what do you think? You offer the smartphone zombie sign?
Zombies should no longer feel comfortable in Florida.
Yeah, it's not going to be safe to travel.
No,
there,
it's not.
The NAACP has issued a travel advisory.
Yeah. This is pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to get to, this is sad news. Some Pentagon leaders canceled a drag show? Was this an Air Force drag show? They're haters. Oh. We'll get to that and a news update next. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Oh. Here it is, 1st of June, and someone had to cancel a drag show?
Yeah. Well, the Air Force had approved a drag show performance, all-ages drag show performance, to be held at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada.
Our military didn't do that.
No, well, it was scheduled for today, and when the Pentagon found out about it, they said, no, we're not doing this. Hold on a second. Apparently, Mark Milley and the Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin heard about it, and as the report goes, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mark Milley was visibly angry about the decision that was made to hold this on the base. So they canceled it. The Pentagon said, no, you're not doing that. You can have it if you want a drag event or something. You can't have it on the base. We're not doing that.
Okay. Who makes that decision to make it happen? That's what I think a lot of people wonder.
Oh, weirdos who want to celebrate the downfall of America.
The fun committee.
The fun committee, yes.
But don't you get the feeling a lot of people have the perception, wait a second, in the military, you just can't go plan something without the approval of a supervisor.
You think there'd be a lot of checks and balance here, yeah.
They did get the approval from the Air Force.
But the Air Force did not get approval from their higher-ups.
Right.
Just like, well, be better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Yeah. That's what I think is amazing to people, that it even got that far.
Right.
It just kind of crazy. But, yeah. And so are there people protesting yet in the streets, or is that going to be later?
Sure. Well, this is just an all-out assault.
The way they'll always talk about marginalized communities.
Yeah, right.
Marginalized?
Yeah. Yeah, no one at the Pentagon said that you couldn't have a drag show if you wanted to do so. You just don't do it on the base. We're not
right.
Yeah, that's not something that we're interested in doing.
Well, the other thing is, and Biden has said this before, with the community, we want you to know we see you. What the T in the alphabet mafia is not visible to people?
Right.
No one knows they're out there. Are you kidding?
Well, 6'5" guy doing Diana Ross, I see him.
You pick him out of a crowd, can't you?
Really quick.
Man. Got to ask, what did you make of Twitter telling Daily Wire they weren't going to stream What is a Woman, the Matt Walsh documentary? Because there was an agreement. That's the way the story reads. There was an agreement, and then Twitter decided, that would be under hateful speech. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing. I was really surprised by that.
Well, there's
disappointed.
Remember, there's still lefties that work there. And to me, I think, you know, potentially at least, you'd have a guy like Elon Musk go in there and say, okay, who did this and why? And, well, you're fired.
Yes. We'll wait and see what happens. But from the Daily Wire story, co-CEO Jeremy Boring said that they canceled the deal. And it was just going to be running there for free. And, okay, so you got, I know, a new CEO, and they just decide that all of a sudden, well, they misgendered in there. There was a 14-year-old girl, this person's daughter, and he referred to her as her. And apparently you can't do that. What? So that was misgendering, and so they're just not going to allow it. So I think this is the thing with Twitter. Whenever you get a little excited, I think it's much better since Musk has taken over. Not perfect by any stretch.
No.
But yeah, that gives you pause. Or at least it does me.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you to put the blame on? Is that something where Musk comes in and says, hey, wait a second. It's supposed to be about free speech here.
Yeah, it didn't fire enough people is what it comes down to me.
Well, he also hired the CEO, and a lot of people didn't like it because where she came from, World Economic Forum, crap like that. So we'll see how it goes. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. All right, biggest story of the day, David.
I guess that the House of Representatives has passed the debt ceiling bill. It goes over to the Senate, and we'll see what happens there in the coming days. You're going to see a little bit, maybe, I don't think you're going to see as much hysteria about Republicans barreling towards default because Democrats control the Senate. So even though there are definitely going to be fissures and arguments in the Senate over this bill, you're not going to get the same level of hysteria because it might make Chuck Schumer look bad.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people, you know, just sort of tune out to the whole thing. They knew there was going to be a deal done at some point. Yeah. All right, Robin, you ready for your big three?
Yep, let's do it.
The trifecta, a news update next. Keep ranting, fellas. Don't hold up now. This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. I'm Jamie Markley, the Gen X. David Van Camp, the millennial. Scott Robbins, he's the sexy boomer.
Uh-huh.
Ranting, just stay away from the kids. That's all I'm hearing you guys
say. That's all anybody's asking for. And I just made the comment that probably is not fair, but, I mean, to run a campaign, oppress the weirdos.
And all I'm saying is I don't want to oppress anybody. I'm not interested in that. I just want to keep the freak shows away from the kids.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, hey, man.
If you're wondering where did this come from, I think it's a story that Robbins has coming up in the trifecta.
Yeah, I do.
We'll get to that in a few. You got a news update, David.
Yeah, I do. So Ron DeSantis is on the campaign trail in New Hampshire today, and a reporter, apparently he did a speech but didn't take questions from the audience. Well, then he goes out into the audience. He's taking pictures with people, talking with people, but a reporter decides at that exact moment when he's talking to voters to try to claim that Ron DeSantis wasn't talking to voters.
What?
Listen to this exchange. This is funny.
Why not take any questions from voters, Governor? Governor, how come you're not taking questions from voters?
No, stop coming up to me, talking to me. What are you talking about? I'm not here working with people. Are you blind?
What?
Are you blind?
I'm not blind. No.
Okay, so people are coming up to me, talking to me, whatever they want to talk to me about.
Are you blind? I was literally just taking a photo with somebody when you were asking this question.
Yes, but I can't get it on my recorder.
It's the voice,
to file for my story. So it doesn't count.
His parents call him Peanut.
No countsies.
Yeah.
I'm just a...
Boy, that's the prototypical, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Everybody sounds like...
It's stereotypical, yeah.
And that's not you, David, and your old job. I'll tell you that.
No, well, I was never one of those.
You got to hit a certain octave for
you
that.
You do. You really do.
And then the guy sounds like he won a contest.
And then everything
Weekly
has
Reader,
to end like
you know?
This?
Yeah. I'm 12 years old and I'm here.
I'm wearing my daddy's suit jacket right now.
I won the spelling bee and I got to be here.
I have a master's degree.
Yes.
That's always my favorite.
That is, yeah.
I have a master's degree. I don't care.
Here comes the master's degree, yeah.
And?
Look out.
Uh-oh. Speaking of running for president, there's another piece. I know we talked about one earlier. This one's called RFK Jr. and the Populist Wave. Asking the question, why are Kennedy and Marianne Williamson polling so highly against Biden? One Democratic backer says there's a reckoning coming. Wow. So the most recent CNN poll, take that for what it's worth, shows Kennedy winning at least 1 in 5 voters, Williamson 8%. There's really 8% of people that says, that's my pick for president.
A lot of moon bats, man.
Still. Well, I mean, for some people, they look at Biden, they're like, we can't do this anymore.
I think it's more a manifestation of dissatisfaction with Joe Biden.
Yeah,
it
is.
They realize, okay, this guy is really not up to the task. He hasn't been good. Like, for a lot of Democrats, the biggest thing that Biden has going for him is that he wasn't Trump. And that's it.
That's true. And it's 62% of people say he... The mental fitness, he's not there. 62%. And over a third of Democrats. That's, wow. And the DNC says, no debates, no need. Joe's our guy.
Well, they're already saying that, you know, he hasn't campaigned at all. He announced, but he hasn't done anything. He hasn't made any appearances campaign-wise.
Well, he's not going to.
That's what I said. It worked the first time, right?
Yes, and when he did, we had corn pop. We had him challenging an old guy to push-up contest. I mean, it was a freaking debacle. Remember they don't want him back out
there. The idiot horn honking thing.
Oh, yeah. It's raining.
Yeah.
The old drive-in, everything else.
Honking their horns.
Yes. They don't want that again, so it's probably just not going to happen. All right. Trifecta time. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's do this.
Are you ready?
One, two, three.
It's the three most important news stories of the day.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, at least according to Scott Robbins. It's the trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins show.
Right around this time every day, Scott Robbins' trifecta always helps by his hero.
I'm KP Kasem.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
I'm ready. Three.
Number three, Representative Matt Gaetz apparently is filling in on Newsmax. I didn't realize that, but he's hosting a show on Newsmax and, beating CNN.
This is crazy.
Wow.
I mean, CNN ratings have, been in the tank for a long time, but this is embarrassing. Representative Matt Gaetz, serving as a guest host on the network, absolutely smoked CNN in the overall ratings in the 10 p.m. slot this past Friday. And people say, like, yeah, you're kind of kicking a dead horse. But I like kicking this dead horse.
Well, yeah, CNN's that really work. Is something.
After the town hall from Trump, that was the biggest night they've had in years. And it's just tanked precipitously again after that.
Well, yeah, there were a lot of people that watched CNN that were ticked because Trump is dangerous.
That was Trump. The
whole thing, dude. I mean, we've had the clips before where you had people saying it was just so dangerous. Donald, guy's a sitting president. 70 million votes. Leading candidate of the Republican Party. Dangerous for people to hear the message? Holy smokes.
I'll tell you, the best news for Newsmax was probably the Tucker firing.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Man.
No doubt about that.
We're getting closer and closer to number one.
Scott Robbins trifecta up to number
two.
Number two, the Free Beacon has a funny take, and I'll just say this selfishly. Sounds a little familiar, but it's about the Dodgers having the anti-Catholic group for Pride Night.
Yeah, this guy named Andrew Stiles wrote this piece. He said the situation might have played out differently if the Dodgers had decided to honor so-called gay rights group that makes a blatant and deeply offensive mockery of the Islamic faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on. He said, now just imagine. The Dodgers on Wednesday were permanently banned from Major League Baseball and forced to vacate all championships and other accolades after the team invited a group of anti-Islam activists to take part in their Pride Night celebration. We emphatically condemn the former organization's decision to foment racism and Islamophobia under the guise of celebrating our friends in the LGBTQIA-LMNOP community, said Commissioner Rob Manfred. Effective immediately, the Los Angeles Dodgers will cease to exist in the eyes of Major League Baseball. He went on to say, later this evening, the league will endeavor to facilitate restorative inclusion by demolishing Dodger Stadium and funding the construction of a mosque, anti-Zionist youth center, and outpatient female circumcision facility. Well, if the roles were reversed.
I mean, there's a few groups who would, if that in this hypothetical situation, if you have a drag queen doing sexy Muhammad, you'd have a few groups out there who would be happy to handle the demolition of Dodger Stadium.
Oh, but buddy. If it's Christianity, let it go.
But that was your idea, David.
I'm just saying.
It was David's idea. Yeah.
Yes.
Say it again.
It was David's idea.
Thank you. Thank you, Casey, for the assist.
I'm not saying the Free Beacon's ripping you off, but.
The Scott Robbins trifecta. Top three of the day up to number
one.
Number one, Rolling Stone is very, very mad that furries can't have their way with children.
This is unbelievable. You know what happened to Rolling Stone magazine? I mean, I realize it's been happening for a while. But,
over 10 years.
Yeah.
Now, yeah.
You're in high school or college age. You're getting Rolling Stone. Your bands were in there. And,
Well, and I mean, if you go back, Matt Taibbi.
Yeah, he wrote for them.
Well, he broke the story about the economic, collapse years ago. I mean, there was some real reporting going on there. Didn't always agree with it, but it was certainly happening. It's a joke now.
They just printed this. A furry fandom convention in Florida has just announced they would ban minors based on the governor's ridiculous laws.
How are they ridiculous?
So DeSantis said, hey, if you're under the age of 18, well, sorry, can't go. Imagine being upset about protecting minors from attending a sexual fetish convention. Think about that for a minute.
Well, I've heard this go back and forth. Tell me what you've heard. From different furries, they've said, well, yes, it's a sexual thing. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, what are kids doing there? Others would say, no, I mean, there are some people that really believe they're like 5% human, 95% mm-hmm. animal, something like that. Well, then we'd call that a mental illness.
Yeah. Exactly. See, exactly, right? Yeah. What are we celebrating here?
Which is it?
And why do we have to celebrate everything?
I mean, I'm sorry if you're... And look, you know, like we started off the segment, I don't want to quote-unquote oppress anybody. If you want to dress up like a duck and spoon with some guy who thinks that he's a dog, then fine, do it, I guess. But who am I to judge, right? Just leave the kids out of it, all right?
I can judge that one. I feel comfortable judging the duck and the dog spooning. I mean,
Yeah, I heard some other people talking about this whole thing with the law, and then they were talking about the different furries and then the sound that foxes make.
That they make that sound, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of the furries do at the conventions.
Yeah, they make the sound of the animal they are while in the throes of passion.
Buddy. I mean, yeah. It sounds like a comedy routine.
No, I
one of those. I see David looking at his computer. Are you trying to pull up audio or something? Because I guarantee you, you, Scott, nor I, for 10 seconds, if we listen to it, could get through it without laughing.
Oh, you can.
I don't think there's any way.
Because
unless
the
totally
cat
disgusted.
One is kind of a howl.
I'm just thinking, this fall, the new Oscar bait. From Ang Lee. It's a story of a man who likes to dress up as a butterfly and another man who likes to dress up like a dog, starring in Furback Mountain.
Dog and butterfly.
Oh, happy man. Pride Month, everybody.
Yes. And there you have it.
Yes, the Scott Roberts trifecta. Very good, Scott. Appreciate that. The sound of robins mocking furries as cats mating is one of my favorites. News update and Nimrod's in the news. Great ad.
The Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
Well, I mentioned earlier that Biden was at the U.S. Air Force Academy graduation. As he was walking across the stage, a flat stage, that dude took a tumble. Like a big tumble, not a step or anything. I mean, he just like tripped over his feet or something.
Whoa.
And just fell down. I mean, you can hear the crowd reaction. He's walking forward. So I don't know if he, I can't really see if there's much of an obstruction. It's kind of hard to tell from the angle of the video that I see. There's a teleprompter there that he had to walk around, I guess. Again, it's hard to tell from this angle. But yeah, he just takes a tumble, man. And for a guy who's like 174, that's a...
Did he pop back up?
No, he had to get help. Secret Service rushed in and picked him up.
Did they continue on with the ceremony?
And then they just kind of carted him off.
Wow.
Well, it was odd. You know, earlier we were talking about Springsteen falling at a concert, but he was going upstairs and with a light jog when he went down. And then he tried to get up, but then he needed help.
Yeah.
And I would imagine Biden, and I'm not even saying this like make fun, that stiff gait they say.
Yeah, it is.
It's not a natural-looking walk, that's for sure.
I think, looking at the end of the video, he points back to the box that the teleprompter was on. So I don't know if he tripped over a cord or if he just hit the box or saw it, got spooked like an old horse or something, and fell over.
Was this after that?
Why are you laughing, Scott?
Get spooked by an old horse. Exactly.
Jeepers.
Was this after, before, or...
I think
he
this
spoke
is
and then he was
speech.
Leaving? Okay, all right. Wow. No no report on his anything right now yet.
No.
Okay.
I mean, it looks like he was walking off with some help. You know, it's like if you were like at a football game, and a guy got his bell rung a little bit, and he's kind of walking off with the help of the trainer, everybody's going to stand up and do a nice little clap because it's okay, good. He's not getting wheeled out there in a stretcher or anything like that.
So right.
Nobody's calling the cart for him.
Wow.
Okay. Speaking of shows, I mentioned Springsteen. I just happened to see this. For some people, it would be an odd pairing. For others, they love it. We've talked about Guns N' Roses on this show before.
Yeah.
You're not a big fan. If the right opener for Guns N' Roses, would you be interested in going?
Probably not.
No? Carrie Underwood. Opening for Guns N' Roses on three dates.
Aren't they friends? Or
they are
Underwood
excellent.
And Axl. Yeah.
How's the Guns N' Roses audience going to treat her?
I think they'll treat her great.
Mm-hmm.
She'll probably do a rocked up sort of set.
She's stunning, play there stunningly beautiful.
Yeah. In Nashville. That's why I wondered if you'd want to go.
Yeah. Carrie Underwood, she's got the best legs in the business. I know that. But
Carrie undercarriage.
but she does actually have a little bit of a rock edge to a lot of her songs.
Well, yeah. But that'd be fun. And she'll probably come out and do a song with
him. Save him.
One might say that.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, we got to get to Nimrod. Roll it out.
When the going gets tough.
Damn it, this is too hard.
The dumb get dumber.
All right, Dean.
It's Nimrod's in the News on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
I love the poorly educated.
All right. Nimrod's in the News. We go to Hawaii. This has happened again. It happened at the same location last month. A tourist, following her GPS directions, drove her car right into the ocean. Fisherman in a nearby boat. He almost seems annoyed, but he's trying to save her. You can hear the audio.
We're at Honokohau Harbor, and this lady just drove into the boat ramp.
Just who cares? Leave them on. Let's go.
You got to leave the car.
Get out of there now.
Lady is trying to use her wipers. So turn the wipers off. Who cares? Get out of the car.
It's going to start taking on water right now.
Hurry, it's going under. Hurry up and get out. Hurry up and come my way. Hurry up. Swim. Hurry up and come over here. That's his float. You can use it as a float. Put it under you.
You know what I'll probably hear later? He didn't have to yell so much.
That was
he's trying to save her.
Toxic masculinity there.
Yeah. Very toxic.
Yeah. Hey, first, this is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.